Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
Swangled for a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you haven't rated the show yet, we would appreciate it. If you think we've done a good job, we'll take a 5-star review. It'll help us with the algorithm battles. If you want to connect with me directly, macroaggressions.io is the best place to do that. You can find out everything that's cooking with the books and the podcasts and all that good stuff. our sponsors. They make this show happen. They have a sponsors page on the website. You can check out all of these people. I try to curate this in a way that makes sense to the audience, things that you would need. Chemical-free body is something that you need. They've been making great supplements for a long, long time. They make Green 85. It looks like swamp water. They flavored it with raspberry, so it actually tastes pretty good. So it looks bad, tastes good, definitely helps you. If you want to pair that with the detox bundle, you will get you'll get lean after 90 days. I know, I've done it twice. It'll clean you out. So take a look. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. Take a look, do some shopping. Maybe you want to find Pat Miletich's Super Soldier formula. It's there. He's working with Tim on that. So take a look, see what you think. If you find something you like and you want to save a little money on your way out, Macro is the discount code. We appreciate that. And also, Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years. Long time. Canada, United States, A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau. They're not messing around. They get you access to an attorney in your area for a very reasonable amount. $30 a month will do it, $1 a day. You have an attorney that can take care of all your documents and things like that. If your work wants you to sign some new employment agreement that includes language about what you agree to do medically, you can send that to your attorney and have them draw some lines through that stuff before you sign it. And maybe you've got speeding tickets, parking tickets, red light camera tickets. If you have any red light camera tickets, send that to your attorney immediately. They'll get those things dismissed. Those things are total nonsense. They don't work. It's inadmissible. Your attorney will send one email and all that stuff will go away. So I'm just saying, you got a lot of options out there. Take a look, see what you think. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the website that they built specifically for us that you can find out information about ID Shield or the small business plan. If you run a small business and you don't have a lawyer, but you need access to one, they can hook you up with that. If you carry a gun and you need some sort of supplementation documentation, they've got it. They've got all that stuff there. It's real easy. They'll put an app on your phone. You just click, 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 tell them what documents you need, send it over, a person will call you in the next day. It's really just, they figured out the process. Hell, they've had a half a century to get it right, and they have. So Legal Shield is fantastic. If you want more, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Oh, baby. This one's going to be good, because if you'd been in Mexico with me at an Acapulco, you would understand why Steve Falconer is coming on this show. Everybody loves Steve. I love Steve. I love his information, too. It's going to melt your brain. You're going to have to go check out his show, Space Busters, and get yourself into whatever Steve Falconer has got cooking. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Copenhagen, Denmark, Steve Falconer. Hello,
Charlie,
my friend.
Great to hook up again. Thanks for asking me on, dude. It's been, I don't know, 4 months or something. So I think we're going to go weirdo today, right? We're going to go a little woo-woo and deep and, yeah.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, let's do it. By the time everybody's listening to this, the Olympics will be over. And full disclosure, I have to pre-record some of these. But we are in the middle of the Olympics right now. And boy, I got to talk to you about that opening ceremony, because I swear to God, I thought they were going to open the Goddard Tunnel in CERN. I mean, it was straight out of that. I mean, you know, maybe they borrowed the same choreographer from the 2012 London Games, when they had all of the puppets and the hospital beds and kids and demons and coronavirus symbology and all that shit there. Now all of a sudden we're 2024. What do we get? I don't know. Revelations? What did you take on this, Steve?
Well, to be honest, Charlie, I haven't even watched the whole ceremony. I've just seen what people are posting on social media. So what people need to understand is the Olympics are run by the Jesuits, Knight Templar, Vatican. They're a solar cult or a sun cult. And it's a very old religion they stole from Irish Druids 5,000 years ago. By the way, Mount Olympus wasn't in Greece. It was in Ireland on Tara Hill. It was called Mount Olamphas in New Grange. And they still hold they have their own Olympics there every 3 years. And the Committee of 300 are called the Olympians, right? So
yeah, they are.
Yeah, you know that, right? If you've read Dr. John Coleman. And
yeah.
So what people need to understand is, this is you could call it a satanic ritual, but it's actually a solar cult ritual is what the opening ceremony is. So all of the symbolism,
interesting.
Christians are never taught to look into the occult meanings of things, because that's the devil and witchcraft. And, you know, you don't look at that. So they have their own misinterpretations of what they're seeing. And like, for instance, I posted on Facebook, they showed the pale horse. The rider came out on the pale horse from the book of Revelations, right? But that's because we're in the summer right now. We're in July. We just went into Leo. So we're in summer. So the four horsemen of the apocalypse, they're not talking about events that are coming. This is allegory for the zodiac. I can't show you. I'm on my kid's computer because mine's in the shop, so I'm gonna have to go old school.
Right,
but you
hold it up to the camera, yeah, presentation.
I have to see also. You basically got your zodiac, and you have what's called the four cardinal points. This is upside down, but it's because I'm going to need to. But over here, you have the beginning of the year, Aries. The year does not start January 1st. It starts March 21st, Aries. That's the spring. That's the white horse of apocalypse. That's the spring every year, and that's every day from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. when the sun comes up, or really 6 to noon. Because there are four horsemen, they each have dominion over a quarter of the earth, meaning each cardinal sign has dominion over one quarter of the zodiac, the sky, and the daily clock, right? So if you wanted to put a clock around this, now I have to turn it upside down because actually Taurus should come next, but I've got an upside down chart. So you could think of this two ways. You could think 6 a.m. to noon, and then you could think noon down to 6 p.m., and then to midnight in the darkness and up, right? So you've got the white horse here. That's Aries. That's the sun when it rises. It's very white. It's not yellow or bright yet. These days it's not, never gets yellow. But
yeah.
Right? Then you have the pale horse up in summer here at Cancer. Now, in most Bibles, it's not called the pale horse. It's called the pale green horse or pale ashen horse. So it's called the green horse because it's in the year, that's when the summertime is and everything's green and there's food. But what follows him, its rider, is death. Because as the summer crops are done growing, we start going into fall. And in fall is where you harvest the wheat, then the food's out. And then people, the agrarian cultures, used to fight over food. And then they start killing all the animals. It says he brings destruction, right? So that's your pale horse or your green horse. Then when you get down here, you get to Libra. So one of the horsemen is carrying scales. It says a balance scales, right? One of the horsemen's carrying a balance scale. You're like, why would he be doing that? Well, that's the glyph for Libra. That's the balance scales where the sun gets judged as it's going into fall and about to go into winter. And it's dropping in the sky lower and lower from your visual perspective. So that's all that is. Then the next cardinal point is Capricorn. So the other horseman of the apocalypse, that's the red horse. So in the fall, the leaves turn red. Everything, the green is gone red. And at nighttime, so that's noon to 6 p.m., that's when the sun will start to go to dusk and the sky turns red before sunset. So that's the red symbology. The black horse is night, obviously, right? It's black, it's dark.
Right.
And one of the horsemen of the apocalypse is carrying a bow and arrow. That's Sagittarius, half man, half horse. He's pointing the bow and arrow at Capricorn. So that's the next cardinal sign right there. So you got Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So because it's summer and this is a sun cult putting on the Olympic ritual, they're using this one here. They're using the pale horse because that's where we are, right? And you can see, right? So that's what they're doing. And we just entered into Leo. This is backwards for me. So, okay, here's Leo. We entered into Leo. You can see that squares. See this? You can draw a 90-degree square.
Yeah.
From Leo to that. So that's also, because we're in Leo right now, that squares with that horseman there. Right. And then in the book of Revelations, people say, oh, well, what about the beast of Revelation? So those are called the cardinal signs. That's like in an energy wave. You got bam, an explosion in a wave. Then you have what's called fixed. So the wave, it gets its waveform and then it stays at the top of a wave peak. And then the wave changes. If you've ever seen a wave, it goes up, down, right? Well, the up is the explosion. Mm-hmm. Then when it's sitting at the top crest or at the bottom crest, that's called fixed. That's the property of the wave. And then it gets ready to change. So it goes to mutable. So all zodiacs have four fixed signs or cardinal signs, then next to them are fixed. So the beast of Revelation, it has an ox, right? It has the head of an ox. That's because it's upside down again. Here's Taurus. Taurus is the bull, the ox. It's right next to Aries, the cardinal sign. So that's the fixed sign, right? Then the other one, one of them has the head of a lion. That's Leo, the next fixed sign, wherever Leo is. Leo's the lion. That's why it has a head of a lion, because it's right next to the fixed sign of Libra, right? And then one of them has, it's a man. That's Aquarius, the water bearer, the man with the pitcher. And then the other one is an eagle. Mm-hmm. And the reason the other beast is an eagle is because the zodiac didn't actually come from Egypt. It was brought to Egypt by the Irish. And in the old days, there were no scorpions in Ireland. So the old ancient glyph for Scorpio was a white eagle. So all the book of Revelation.
Interesting.
Yeah, the beast of Revelation is telling you how to find the fixed signs in the zodiac. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are teaching you where the cardinal signs are in the zodiac. And we can get into this later if you want, but your whole body wraps around this too, as well as does the year. So these represent body parts as well and many other things. Yeah.
This was the part of your presentation at Anarchapulco that blew my mind when you went down the fucking rabbit hole of Ireland.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and nobody talks about that. Right. Nobody really talks about it. And it's always, you know, it's always all these other groups, right? It's the, like you said, the Egyptians, it's the Jews, it's this, it's that. And of course, you know, for what it's worth, they have their place in this. But I've never heard that the Irish side of things until you mentioned it. But let me wrap with this. So, The pale horse we don't have to worry about?
No, it's just
in the opening ceremony.
It happens every year. The apocalypse means the unveiling. Saint John is not right. A real historical character. John is the word Ioannes, Ioannes, which means soul and fluid, cerebral spinal fluid, oil. So when you have the revelation and Jesus says, cast your net to the right, that's where you'll catch your fish, in the right side of the brain. Meditate and open up the right side of the brain, raise your kundalini, open the dormant brain cells. Everything's right east, right east, right east, right? So the revelation of St. John is the revelation of how this science works here. The Catholic Church, Irish Catholic Church and Church of England, they've been hiding Irish origins. They've put everything in the Middle East and to Egypt and Greece so that no one looks. But if you read books like, you know, Conor McDarrah or The Ur of Chaldea by Anna Wilkes, Babylon was in the British Isles. None of these places were in the Middle East. This is all bullshit. They've been lying and rewriting history so that you're always looking over there. They don't want you to know where all this civilization came from. So they've rewritten it as Greek and Egyptian. Now, the Irish did go to Egypt and they did go to India. They started Brahmanism, Buddhism, Hinduism. It's all coming from them, but it didn't originate in Egypt. It was brought there. And Sumer.
What in the opening ceremonies? All right, so we don't have to worry about the pale horse.
No.
What do the trannies symbolize? Do we know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, we're coming
because there were a bunch of them in the opening ceremonies. It was just like, It was like fat people and transgendered and all this stuff. And everyone's watching, just
fat
going, bring on the pale horse at this point.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Was there any like transhumanism shit in there? Was there anyone like half man, half robot, or half any of that shit going on?
Well, not that I saw, but right. I didn't watch the full thing. My guess is that there is subtle transhumanism theme running at the Olympics, because there's a transhumanism theme running in the background of everything these days. And my guess is that the Olympics will probably see some sort of occult.
Yeah,
I don't know, something that the general public won't recognize, but us lunatics will go, oh yeah. Shit, they're playing this, they've got this thing going on there or whatever, you
well
know?
Like you said off camera, like we all remember the 2012 London Olympics where they basically ran the COVID scheme. You know, they had the all the kids in the hospital beds, nurses dancing around and death and vaccines and Russell Brand, you know, the Fabian Society Pied Piper coming out. And they did it in the 92. Was it Portugal or Barcelona Olympics? I can't remember where it was held.
It'd been Barcelona for 92, but yeah, they had that big
eco sea of blood and the viruses come out and the right. So what they're doing is called predictive programming, and people get this a little bit confused. So it's not that they're not, people think that they're manifesting this, like it's a witchcraft ceremony. They think that by doing these rituals, they're going to make it happen. That's not what these are about. What they're about is that if they already have the means and the plans long ago to implement transhumanism, transgender agenda, destroy the family unit, communism, basically fucking training commies and shit, right? Get rid of the sexuality. They already know how to implement it. They have the means to implement it. They don't need witchcraft. They know how to do it. What they need is to normalize it in your subconscious so that when it comes out, you don't find it weird. Right? Like in Star Trek, remember the Borgs in Star Trek? They had these like Motorola earphones and you're like, oh, that's cool. And they had like an eye thing. Well, as soon as dickheads were walking around with cordless Motorola cell phones and now phones, it didn't look weird to anybody. No one said, why? What's this all about? So, and this is what they do. They get it in your, they plant it in your mind so that when they do release it on you later, it just seems normal. Like, oh, okay, I guess this is the way things are going. You know, nobody stops and says like, hang on.
Yeah.
This is fucking weird. And yeah, the transgender agenda, obviously. Now, what they do, though, is we're coming into the age of Aquarius, which is, it's a fixed air sign for starters, but it's a gender fluid age anyway. They knew that men's feminine sides will come out naturally more and females' masculine sides. It's an age of rebalancing. So what these fuckers do, because they're all occultists and understand this science completely, they give you a big push over the hill. You know, they're like, oh, well, we know the men are going to finally be a little less mannish. Let's just totally emasculate them. And we know the women are going to be more masculine. Let's lesbian butch the shit out of them. You know what I mean? Then they won't have kids. You know, most of it, they just don't want you having kids. So they got you all like into the wrong set, you know, that's what they're doing. It's Depop.
What are the five? I mean, I look at everything's symbolism, right?
Yeah.
I assume that there's something going on. I look at the five Olympic rings in different colors and I don't know what the official story is for it, but whatever it is, I'm not interested in it. What is the unofficial story of what these rings symbolize?
I was just talking to, I did a decode. I sent it to Steve Young because he's an alchemist. Do you know Steve Young?
No.
Oh, he wrote, I actually have his book here. He wrote A Fool's Wisdom, which is all about alchemy and science conspiracies. He's a PhD in like molecular physics and all that shit. He's a musician too. I interviewed him on my channel, but I see like alchemy, you know, I can see that they have the five rings. And the ring is wholeness. That's called the monad in the tria prima of alchemy. That's the one or the allness. And then you have three rings on top, which is the three principles, salt, mercury, and sulfur, or, you know, fluidity, fire, and physical. So you've got the symbolism of the three. Then on the bottom, you've got the two, which is gender. You got sun, moon, or male and female in alchemy. And one of the rings is yellow, that's the sun, and one of the rings is green on the right, which green is interchangeable with white. That's why I was saying, you know, in the middle of a toroidal field, right, you have red shift, blue shift, but in the center of a toroidal field, you have a green shift, or what they call the white still magnetic light of God, like Walter Russell. So white and green are interchangeable. So you do have what you have the moon and the sun on the bottom. I can see that. I don't know what the blue ring is about, because then also in alchemy, you have your four colors or principles. You got black, the fire, negredo, white, albedo, the whitening, yellow, citronata, and then red is rubedo or the final thing. But there's a blue ring that I can't figure out. But then they all connect too. The five rings connect, four times, you know, the five rings have four overlaps. And that's the four elements. So this is what's called the tria prima of alchemy. I don't know if people can, why am I doing that? Can you see that triangle? that.
Yeah.
So the entire Tria Prima is in the Olympic ring symbolism. And then they touch eight, you know, when the rings interlock, they also touch eight times the rings, you know, where they touch, not just overlap. And then eight is the octagon, which is a pyramid unfolded, which is the principle of all of it together. So I see a very alchemical symbol there. But I could be missing stuff, you know, but that's what I see. These are occultists who run this. These are the Jesuits, the Vatican, the black nobility. This is not the Jews. This is all being run by the Jesuits, Templar, Knights of Malta, you know, Knights of St. John, Opus Dei, Vatican, and their black nobility families, Order of the Garter, Committee of 300, the Olympians. So this is why you see they were taking the piss. I saw it at the Last Supper, too, as well. Which is also, that's the Son. Jesus and his 12 disciples is the Son and the 12 things of the Zodiac. You know, I've done many films on that kind of stuff too as well. That's the 12 tribes of Israel and 12, 12, 12, 12 cranial nerves, you know, 12, it's all that.
What do the Jesuits want? What's the point of this? Is this, ritual magic, trying to just set the agenda, like you mentioned, subconsciously set the agenda moving forward. How do they feel about this? Is this clearly has to be one of the most important events. They always tend to, they've got a lot of eyeballs on it. They've got a lot of energy in it. And what does success look like to the Vatican or to the Jesuits after the Olympics? I wonder how they measure that.
So the Jesuits are an interesting group because it's pretty complicated, but they're the army for the Roman Catholic Church, right? And I'm in the middle of a 6-hour film, like 3-part film I'm going to make. This shit, I can't explain this in 5 minutes, but the Jesuits, they were basically, they say they were made to get rid of Protestantism, you know, when there's an old war going on, what's called the Guelphs and the Ghibellines or Ghibellines. And in the old days, the Guelphs were the royal families and the nobility and nobility who supported the Pope. But the Pope then would appoint the Roman Emperor, right? So you had the Holy Roman Emperor, like, Charlemagne. The Pope would appoint him, and then he would appoint the Pope. But then they were fighting over, well, who gets to appoint all the bishops and shit, right? The Pope's like, I get to appoint him. And Charlemagne's like, no, I crowned you. I get to appoint. They all wanted power. So some of the families, when you see a white flag with a red cross, like the city of London, right, or all over, that's the Guelphs. They sided with the Vatican. They worked for the Pope. The Ghibellines are the red flag with the white, where you see like the Danish flag or the Knights of Malta. They sided with the royal family should have the power, the Roman Emperor, you know, the Holy Roman Emperor, not the Pope. The Pope's the vicar of Christ. The vicar of Christ, vicar means substitute. So he's saying, as long as Jesus doesn't come back, I'm Jesus till he comes back. You know, it's like he ain't coming back.
Gotcha.
He ain't coming back, and they know it.
He's coming back, and then that guy's out of a job.
Yeah, so anyway, so the Jesuits, when Martin Luther, who was a Ghibelline, he was of a noble family. When the Protestant Protestants broke away, the Roman Catholic Church was pissed off. So they formed the Jesuits, they say, I think they had other reasons, to get them back or to destroy the Protestants. They also hate the Jews, and they hate the real Freemasons, the Irish P-H-R-E Masons, which is where all this comes from. Freemasonry right now has been infiltrated by the Roman Catholic Church, you know, Scottish Rite. This is not the original teachings of Freemasonry. It's totally bastardized. But that was the whole point. Then these Jesuits were fucking evil, man. They're evil bastards. And then they got expelled in 1775. I can't remember if it was Pius the Sixth or Clement the XIV, but they got even the Catholic Church kicked the Jesuits out. They're like, fuck these guys. They're bad news. So the Jesuits got pissed off, and then they fomented the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars because they said, we're going to take down the church and all the royal families. And they went after them for like 35 years with those two things. And then I think it was Pope, it might have been Clement VII or Leo. they finally reinstated them, because then the Catholic Church in the Gulf started to lose power. So they're like, let's get these Jesuits back on our side, because they're cons, you know what I mean, to help us get back in power.
Right.
So they took them back after they almost like destroyed all of them, yeah, through the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. So that was all the Jesuits doing behind that. So now the Jesuits see, when you read like, I've done some talks. If you watch my talks with Mike Winter and Dr. Berlando at Alpha Vedic, yeah. The Jesuits behind the scenes said, we want to choose the popes. We want the church to be the instrument, but we want the pope to be of our work for us. So this is Francis right now. He's in there. They've got their pope, because the Jesuits used to work.
He's a Jesuit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Francis is a big Jesuit. Yeah. It's the first time. Then behind that, you know, you've got your gray pope and your black pope. So Pepe Orsini and,
Pepe Orsini, the gray pope, right? Is he in charge? Is he the guy running?
They say, he's pretty much in charge of the Knights of Malta. They say the gray pope is in charge. Actually, I think he even works for the black nobility families. But yeah, the Orsinis are one of them. Like, they're one of the main families. You have the Collins, who are the Colonias. You know, you've got quite a lot. You got these 13 black nobility families. Then you got these 20 Guelph families, like Queen Elizabeth. Now, she was the head of the Knights of the Garter. It's always a woman in charge of the Illuminati, actually. And the head of the Knights of the Garter runs the Committee of 300. But again, So that used to be Queen Elizabeth. Now it's probably Beatrix, or our queen just stepped down here in Denmark. So I don't know what she's doing. Magleda. But maybe she's going to be running the show. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. But that's kind of what's going on. So these Jesuits are really funny, because they were a tool, but they're so dangerous that even, you know, everyone's afraid of them, even the church.
Wow.
But they're running this shit.
Where are they now?
They're all over the place. And the Knights Templar, too, have been changed as well. Knights of St. John, Opus Dei. Most of their operations are running out of Switzerland. That's why you find the International Monetary Fund, Bank of International Settlements, the UN, right? Like FIFA. Go look in Switzerland. There's like 50 organizations, all the big 67.
I did.
They're there. Yeah. They're all there. They've got.
I did an episode.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, I did an episode called The Deep State Mothership, talking about Switzerland.
Yeah.
Going through all these different groups that are there. And it's like, it's funny that they never got bombed during World War II, or they got bombed by the Americans, and then the Americans went back in and paid them reparations after the war. It's like, really? That's interesting. To find out who controls you, find out who you can't bomb during World War II, right?
And Switzerland was founded by the Knights Templar in 1290. It's a Knights Templar country. Their 4th of July is the day that the Knights Templar founded Switzerland. And they fly the red and white flag. You know, it's the same shit. It's all them. So when this all comes down to it, it all goes back to the Holy Roman Empire. All this shit goes back to the Vatican and the black nobility, who come from the Middle East. The Knights Templar lost what's called Jerusalem right now. Like, we're all Palestine and Israel, all this shit going on right now. That area is where all the human trafficking, organ trafficking, drug trafficking, minerals, gas, diamonds, everything goes through that area. So the land itself, it's a desert, but all the shit moves through there. And the Arabs sacked it from the Knights Templar held it, and the Arabs took it. And they, for 1,200 years now, they've wanted this fucking place back. And it's because all the black nobility families come from there. So they want this shit back. So the Jews are the mortal enemies of the Vatican. They cannot stand the Jews. The Jesuits hate the Jews. They hate the Arabs even more. So they've been trying to get rid of the Jews for a long time. So what they figured out is, like, when you have ants in your kitchen, you don't try to step on a million ants. You'll never get them. You just set an ant trap and let all the ants go to the food in the corner and poison the trap. So that's what they've been doing. They've been rounding up the Jews and sticking them right in the middle of the Arab nest to get ready for the final solution. And they've been persecuting Jews for 800,000 years. Because when a father abuses his child, that child grows up and becomes abusive himself. And so they've been making these Jews victim, 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 victim. And people get it wrong when they keep showing you all these Holocaust lies and movies and all this shit like that. They say, oh, it's the Jews are trying to brainwash us. And it's like, no, it's the Jesuits putting those movies out to brainwash Jews to make them feel entitled and victimized so that they'll go out and wipe out the Arabs for them and each other. This is, they're putting them there to put them against each other. When you read Pike's Three World War letters, right now, there are people who say Pike didn't write that, that a Jesuit priest wrote that in the 50s and not Pike in 1870. Either way, it says this is World War III, and right?
Interesting.
So this is what's going on.
I guess when you've been running the world, or you've been running Europe, whatever, I mean, it was the world back then, for a thousand years, you learn a thing or two about how to manipulate groups of people, right? How to pit one group against another, how to get them fighting. And if the Jesuits hate the Jews and the Arabs as much, then the best solution is not to fight them yourselves, but to get them to fight each other,
yes,
right?
It says it right in the World War III letter. It says that's what they're going to do. They'll annihilate each other. And you saw my Anarchapulco speech. The Ebers were Irish priests of Iesa Krios. And the Jews, they're not even Jews. Like the Hebrews in the Bible, Old Testament, are from Ireland. All that took place in the British Isles. In fact, if you can speak Welsh,
that's,
you can read hieroglyphics. How the hell can Welsh read Egyptian hieroglyphics with their language? Because it came from there. It didn't come the other way around. So what they've been telling these Jews is that you're an actual people. No, a Jew or a Yud was someone who followed the teachings of the Irish priest of An, Iesa Krios, Horus. A Jew could have been black, they could have been Chinese, they could have been African, they could have been South American, right? You could be red, yellow, brown, green, whatever the fuck you are. That was a Jew. So they're not historic people. And they've been told that your land is there in Jerusalem right there. No, 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 no. The Yudes were from all over. They were just people who followed the teachings of these Hyksos priests, Scythians, Irish priests. So now these Jews think they're God's chosen people. Well, the only reason they're God's chosen people is because people who follow the teachings of the light, the sun, and the spirit, and the man, and trying to better yourself to human betterment, you would be God's chosen people because you are choosing to be God-like. God doesn't choose people. People choose to be God-like. So yeah, Yudes or Jews are God's chosen people, but that means you don't get to go bomb and genocide Arabs and then Palestinians and call yourself God-like.
So they've been, it's preposterous.
Right, but see what they've been doing? They've been lying to these people about their origins and where they're from and what they're entitled to. Then they've been victimizing them like a father abusing a child. And now they're like, hey, here, we'll put you can have your land back that was never fucking yours. If you want it, you better go to Ireland and Wales and Scotland, because that's where the Yudes came from. That's where your Eber daddy's Hebrews came from. So you're taking over the wrong place, man, you know?
When the Rothschilds got involved with the Balfour Declaration, would they have had advanced knowledge of this?
The Rothschilds are Orsinis. They changed their name.
Oh. Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
All of them.
So they...
Go ahead.
They would have known what they were doing by taking this land, and then this was all part of their plan.
That's exactly why everyone's saying, why the hell? Because the British Empire... Now, see, the reason Britain's so high in this is because in that Guelph-Ghibelline War I was telling you about, the Guelphs support the Pope as they take the orders from the Pope. The Ghibellines support that each of the kings and queens and royal houses are in charge of their country. So you could call it vertical rule, Pope down, or you could call it horizontal rule, where, like we see now, where, you know, the quote unquote pharaohs are all the presidents, prime ministers, kings, queens, right? Everyone's running their patch, but working together. So that's kind of the war has been like, who's in charge here? There's a war in their circles of who's running this shit show. It's not like everyone, it's complicated, right? So that was it. Yeah, people are like, why did they stick these Jews there? They did it. Like I said, it's the ant trap. It's the Jew trap. Because as you saw in my anarchist poco speech, They tried this with the secret teachings of the elders of Bourges Fontaine. Then they tried it with the Protocols of Zion, where the Jesuits wrote it and blamed it on the Jews. They've been trying to wipe out these Jews forever since the 1600s. They've been trying to get rid of them. So this is what, that's what this was all about. They put them there to get them all there. And most of the rest of the Jews are in five major U.S. Democratic cities on coasts that are going to be fucking wiped out if the U.S. gets invaded, right? And then also within the Jewish structure, you have three kinds of Jews. You know what I mean? There's three tiers of Jews. One are like nobility or, you know, then there's like the dirty ones they beat in the streets of Israel, the real ones, you know what I mean? Like Zionism, Sion is not Jewish. Sion is not Jewish. This is the order of the women of the Illuminati. This is very old, goes back to Ireland and France before. So you've also got several tiers of Jews. The Jesuits hate the Jews, so they won't work with them. But there are other black nobility factions and the Knights of Malta and St. John and the Templars who will work with the upper tier Jews. Right? Because if you go back to England, in 10,000, in the year 1000, after the Saxon invasion of England, they had Jews there, but they were slaves. They weren't allowed to own any land. The Jews couldn't own land. They were really a slave class, but they could bank because under chivalry, you couldn't put your property up for collateral if you needed a loan from the king or the duke or whatever. Mm-hmm. You couldn't put your land up because they always needed a knight to hold that land to protect the local duke or the king, right? You needed a knighthood to protect. You could put up the chattel for collateral, the slaves working on it or your livestock or your crops. But you couldn't put the land up. That was called usury. But the Jews could do it because they always were allowed to do it. So the kings of England made the Jews the bankers because they could put it up for land and not him. And then they had separate accounts. So the kings of England put in a Jewish banking system. What no one knows is the king was then taxing the shit out of the Jewish bankers. He was having them collect the money and then he was taking it away from them. And then after 200 years of that, he threw them out. He chucked them all out and took their money. And then they didn't need chivalry anymore because the times changed. They didn't need all the knights and shit. All that shit was stopping. So they just brought in the Jewish banking system and merge that with the Knights Templar banking system that the Knights Templar had already set up. So this is where everyone thinks the Jews, they always put a Jew in charge, but they don't. The Rothschilds are the Vatican's bankers, as Jordan Maxwell said. It's whose money is it? It's not, Rothschilds aren't rich, they're rich, but whose money are they trading? It's the Vatican's, you see, and they always put a
Jew. And how does the city of London play into this?
Well, the city of London are the Guelphs. So, yeah, this is all part of the whole thing. You've got your empire of the three cities, right? D.C., London, city, not the city of London, but London city in the city of London, right. And the Vatican. These are like separate city states because they have their own laws. They're not under any international laws or anything. Same with Knights of Malta. You can't get into the Knights of Malta unless you have five generations back of noble bloodline. You just can't join the Knights of Malta. You have to be one of these nobility families, right? And they have a law. They are no matter where they are, that person has diplomatic immunity in any country anywhere in the world. They're untouchable. They can do whatever the fuck they want. So you're like, how does this group of knights, they're not even a country, how the fuck do they have sovereign country rights all over the world, right? It's because it lets you know who's in charge here. You know, show me any Jews have that privilege. They don't. And Israel got vaccinated. They got the most. Then they get five or six vaccines. Okay, what, God's chosen people all vaccinated themselves to death? Why didn't Bernie Sanders get the Democratic election? He's a Jew, right? How come they put it to a papal witch like Hillary Clinton? Well, because every U.S. president and running mate are either related to King Charlemagne or King John III or both. And always the one with the most bloodlines wins the election. Trump had Trump was Charlemagne and John III, so was Hillary, but Trump was closer. Remember, Trump said he put the 16th floor of Trump Towers in all gold to commemorate Uncle Charlemagne. You know, so he's a pharaoh too.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Kamala Harris isn't bloodline.
Well, funny enough, Barack Obama was, because his mom was a Swiss. She was part Swiss. He did have the bloodline. So I don't know what she's got. I just heard she was just blowjobbing a bunch of rich guys to get up to the top. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll get you. That'll get you to a certain level in Washington D.C., but maybe not take you all the way to the finish line. Let me ask you this: since I've got you here, and you mentioned the Albert Pike, the three wars, I forget, how does the World War III go? Since it was written, and you know, we can kind of use this as a roadmap. What should we be expecting if we are to believe that Albert Pike's writ his document, maybe. He wrote it, maybe someone else wrote it, whatever. But if we are to believe that, what should we be expecting in the future?
Yeah, I had a long talk with Mike Winter about it. He thinks it was written by a Jesuit priest in like the 50s. But either way, so what? So what it says is World War III shall be taken advantage by using the agenters of the Illuminati to incite a political war between the Zionists, Israel, which they set up after World War II, the Bretton Woods, they set all this shit up against the Arabs so that they will mutually destroy each other. And at the same time, they will unleash the minorities of revolutionaries all over the world. Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 blah. All these invasions of foreigners coming into these, you know, like the flooding of Europe with all these immigrants, the United States. And they're going to raise hell like that. And they said then everyone's going to have to defend themselves, descend into like a monster world war, like a civil war within world wars, within this and that. And at the end, they want to get rid of Christianity because it's no longer a useful control tool for them. Too many people don't care anymore. So they want to bring in the new one world religion, which is going to be a dark Luciferian religion. And they said, the revolutionaries and the Christians and the despots, they said everyone's going to be so tired and so exhausted that they'll be looking, the carnage is going to be so bad, they're saying, that everyone's going to be looking for a new thing, a new spiritualism or moralism, and then they will release the true doctrine of Luciferianism. That's what it says. Now, the funny thing is Trump's a Jesuit. Well, here's the thing. Remember how hard they tried to make Trump look like he was anti-war?
Yeah.
They had him out with Kim Jong. Remember, like he's meeting with North Korea. You're like, Donald Trump's like, me and Kim, we caused peace. And then he's meeting with Putin. Meanwhile, he's selling fucking fighter jets to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, of course.
He's killing whatever that guy's. Remember that Iranian guy he killed? Yeah, we bombed him, man. He cried Soleimani. Like a dog. Yeah, Soleimani. Yeah. But they made him look really anti-war.
Soleimani cried like a dog.
Cried like a dog. Well, I think they're going to put him back in again. And what I think they tried to make him look very anti-war because, as they say in this Third World War, right now the only reason the Arabs haven't retaliated for Gaza is because the U.S. will come and spank the shit out of them, right? So they're waiting. Now, imagine Trump gets back in and selected again. And all of a sudden, Trump goes, I'm a man of the people, and they don't want war. And he just backs out on Israel like Homer Simpson going into the hedge and that meme, you know, just like that.
Right.
Well, if he does that, right, and Benjamin Netanyahu, his name's Benjamin Milkowski. He's Polish. My flatmate's Polish.
He's a real devious fucker.
Yeah, my flatmate's Polish. They turned the fucking Jews over to the Nazis in World War II. They hate the Jews. And he was a furniture salesman in Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love, not because of brothers, because it's the headquarters for the Brotherhood of the Freemasonry in the United States. It's in Philadelphia, the brotherly love city. So this guy's a Jesuit. He's not even a Jew. And he's the one egging all these Jews on to go take back Gaza. This guy's a Jesuit as they come. I'm so certain of it, right? He's the one egging all this on. You can just see it's chess. Trump's like, we're playing 12D chess. I'm like, yeah, but no, not the way everyone thinks you are.
With Jesuits.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about rebuilding Solomon's temple. Why is that such a big deal? Because I hear about this, I don't know enough about it, but I know that in the for the Jews, it's a huge deal. It means that I think it means that their Messiah is coming back or something along those lines. But why is this even a big deal?
Yeah, that's part of their programming too. That's how they brainwash them too as well. When you look at alchemy, the Jewish symbol, the Star of David, it's the sign for the ether, the fifth element. It's just the alchemical symbol for ether. I think I have it here. Let me see. I might have it here. So that's not a Jewish symbol. There was no such place as the Temple of Solomon. It's the temple of the soul of man between your two temples, built without sound or hammer. It's this. It's Aries, the ram or lamb of God.
It's in your head.
It's in your head. The Temple of Solomon is the right brain where you go through meditation and kundalini rising and you start to open up light inside your pineal gland and body and connect with source. So high ram.
So with the
so Aries, right, is called the ram or lamb of God. Aries is your cerebrum. He's called the ram or lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? High ram, Abiff. Abiff is a father or an elder, the heavenly father. They say Hiram Abiff built Solomon's temple. Yes. When a fetus is born, the first thing that forms is the brain and the spinal cord, and then the rest of the baby is born. As fire and air, sun and air infuse into water. This is alchemy, into the amniotic fluid of the mother's womb, and then it creates earth, salt, babies, people, and infuses fire from the sun and air from the breath, water from the womb, and animates earth. God makes Adam Kadmon out of clay, yeah, right? So it's a metaphor, but they keep telling these people it's literal shit. That's not, you're talking about the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't Solomon's
temple. Maybe I'm talking about that. Maybe that's different than maybe when they're talking about Solomon's temple, they're saying rebuilding it in what people think is physically rebuilding something. What you're saying is rebuild your mind,
yes,
right?
That's
brainwash, reestablish some new way of thinking in their mind, rebuild it, yes, in a way.
Yeah, that's what's really going on. It's all a metaphor anyway, but yeah. But it's because the Arabs, because, yeah, as we all know, they find that that Dome of the Rock is a holy place to them, which is weird because if you look at the planetarium in Chicago, it's identical. It looks like they're both Tartarian architecture in a machine. If you ever look at the two, there, you can't tell the two apart from each other. I don't think it's a holy place at all. But that's how you would incite this shit, because you know, if you went and bombed Mecca like that black cube, the Saturnalian cube, mm-hmm, that's jihad right, yeah, there. You know, if you do any of that shit to their holy stuff, that's jihad coming all the way. And that's what they want. They wrote, yeah, they want jihad. They want that. They want the Jews and the Arabs to mutually destroy each other. They say that in that letter.
That's one thing. That's fine, I guess, if you don't live in the Middle East and we don't have the sort of weapons that we have now. But now, a battle between Arabs and Jews in the Middle East isn't simply contained within the Middle East. It will spread beyond that. So when we talk about a third world war,
yeah,
between these two factions, my fear is the same situation that we had with the First World War, which was that it was two relatively small countries fighting against each other, which shouldn't have triggered anything, except that they had these illegal arrangements with other countries that then meant, you know, like the Article 5 of NATO, if somebody hits, you know, if somebody fights us, you know, everybody's got to jump in. And so my fear is that this could be, say, let's, in its heart, it's a regional war between Arabs and Jews, but because of the legality of all the connections and, you know, our most trusted ally and all that nonsense, that it's going to then by default drag everybody else in. Is that, unfortunately, step two of the process?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
bring everybody in?
I saw Patrick Henningsen was talking to a guy. You know when that shit was going on where Israel bombed and then Iran sent some retaliations in, but it was, you know, nothing damaged. Mm-hmm. You know who brokered that return deal? I fell off my chair when Henningsen was saying it. The Swiss embassy brokered the deal with Iran and the United States on how Iran could retaliate. I'm like, of course, the Swiss Templar Jesuits, of course it was them who brokered the deal. The danger is more Russia and Ukraine. because Russia has BRICS. You know what I mean? Now we got the new monetary system. You know what I mean? So you've got China, Russia, India, South Africa, Brazil, and I think like 20, don't quote me on this, but I heard like 20 or 27 other nations just joined BRICS. Do you know anything about that?
Five more joined officially, and then they've got about 20 that are on the sidelines that are in this designation where they're like the equivalent of like the Hell's Angels having like hangarounds,
right, you know? Yeah.
Like people that aren't officially members, but they're sort of around. They've expressed interest that they want to be involved, and that this is that the next time they expand out, they'd like to be in consideration. It's five plus five, the original five plus the new five. It would have been six. Argentina was on that list and they'd agreed to it, but Javier Milei pulled them out. So now it's just down to five. But yeah, that is a danger. That's the equivalent of like an Article 5 when you start messing with Russia, and Russia has these connections with China. I mean, I could envision a scenario in which they just say, well, we'll cut you out of our version of the Belt and Road. Like, right, we're not going to deal with you. That port that we were planning in Israel, fuck you guys. We're not going to put it there. We'll just skip you, and we'll just go straight up through the Mediterranean up to Italy as we had planned on it.
Right, yeah, because now you're messing with their whole monetary. So you're messing with a monetary alliance, which makes the world go around. That's what the Donbass is all about. It's like 60% of the world's copper. There's like seven minerals that are the top three through six producers in the world are in the Donbass. That's why they're in Ukraine. Russia's in Ukraine because there's trillions of dollars worth of minerals in that region of Donbass. They don't give a shit about liberating the Russian people. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's all about that.
So that's right. If you drag
them, care about,
you've got China, then India and Pakistan go at each other, right? And then all the Protestants and Catholics. That's why this shit's dangerous. And it's not dangerous. They're after this. This is the goal. So we're all like, this is slippery slope. You're like, this is exactly the slope they want. It's not slippery. They're going to push you and your ice skates on your fat ass right down the hill and do it. They're going to go for it. They're going for it, man.
I wonder how much time we have left, though. I mean, I wonder, it all feels very, you know, like when you're talking about a banking collapse, or you're talking about I don't know, I've never been around when a world war kicked off, but it feels like it'll be slow, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's on. And of course, the media will be driving the narrative on this to the extent that they can. Are we going to? I don't know where this heads in a situation. If you've got this many people that behind the scenes actually want this to work, or maybe even need a third world war in order to accomplish their objectives, it just doesn't. It doesn't even seem to really matter what the people want. How do we extract ourselves from this fucking diabolical plan that they have for us? Because I don't want to be a part of World War III. I don't have enough hatred or energy for the Arabs or the Jews to want them to feel. I just want everybody to just mind their own business and deal with their shit. But that just seems impossible at this rate. 2025, is that the year? I mean, do they have to wait for Donald Trump to be in office? Is he the guy that brings us apart? Like, how do we see this?
I mean, I don't know, but it should be soon. I mean, when you think about it, like, it's been a while now. I was looking at my ex-wife's grandma just died. She was 100. She made it to 100. So I'm like, look at this. This lady lived through like the Great Depression, World War I, II. Like, she lives through so much bullshit. And like, I'm almost 53. I'm 53 this month. I've lived through fuck all. I've had a really good run. You know, nobody wants world wars. Nobody, even in World War I and II, nobody wanted to fight. Even the soldiers were like laying down their guns on Christmas and going out having a football game. And they say most soldiers wouldn't actually try to shoot people. They were trying to miss because they didn't want to kill people. They were just sitting in trenches missing because humans don't want to go around killing each other unless they're psychopaths. So I don't know that you can stop it, because, you know, these people have think tanks. You know, I mean, this shit is planned out decades and decades, maybe 130 years if that Pike letter is real and not from the 50s. If it's from the 50s, that's 70 years. So I don't know. Can you? There is quite a big awakening though going on right now. That the only way to stop it is non-participation. That we all just say, "Fuck you! I'm not joining your draft. I'm not joining the army. I'm not going to kill." You know, but the Indians and Pakistanis, they're waiting to get each other in the, you know, Korea and North.
Yeah.
I think it could be like that, where there's pockets in the world. I don't think it'll be a world war like everywhere and the whole world is at war all the time. I think it'll be like World War One and Two, where like these countries are in it and not, you know, it might be cool sitting down in Ecuador or what. I don't know. You know, like,
I know. we're trying to figure that out. Let's wrap up with this. What, Give my audience, who, if they haven't heard of you, give them a rundown of some of the films that you've done. Because I think, man, that if you're listening to this and you're like, all this sounds really interesting, I have never heard any of this before. I have heard it because I was at an Acapulco and I watched your presentation. I left that. I was like, what did I just watch? Yeah. I was like, holy shit, Steve killed it. And so I kind of knew what I was getting into. Maybe the audience doesn't know what they're getting into with you. After this episode, they're going to. Let's talk a little bit about your films. Where can they go to find them, and what are they going to find when they find them?
Oh, yeah, they're going to get their head blown. Well, Space Busters is our channel. We're on YouTube, but most of the good stuff's not allowed there. But I have a BitChute channel, Odyssey, Vigilante.tv, Jeff Berwick's channel. Oh, by the way, I'm speaking at Liberpolco in September. You know, they're doing an Anarchapulco in Liberland.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually got your job now. I'm the stage manager. I'm the stage MC for the 3 days. Got your job.
Awesome. Hey. Are you going to Mexico again?
Are you going to be in 2025? Yeah, I don't know. But I'm the MC, and I'm doing a speech on mineral cell salts at Liberpolco. But anyway, I'm in the middle of making a film called Apocalypse Infinity that's going to lay out all this shit about Ireland, the Jews, the black nobility, the Jesuits, because people want to know who's fucking running this show, right? And it's really complicated. So I'm in the middle of just laying it all out, the history, how it works. There is a war, so you can't say who's running it, because they're also fighting inside the seat. They have the same goal, but they're fighting over who's running the roost after. That could be our biggest ally, is that they collapse themselves. That could be the one thing. And we do have a huge awakening, like the Olympics. They took down their opening ceremony video on YouTube because of all the memes and shit. Like, the people shut down their YouTube for the Olympics. So people are starting to rise in their powers. So, like, we got that going. You know, I don't like to be all doom and gloom. There's a lot of good stuff going on right now. Great shit, you know. But yeah, so that film will be coming out. I did, if you want what we've been talking about, if you look on my channel or Alpha Vedic, which is Mike Winter and Dr. Berlando, I had two appearances with them. Just go back. One of them's like, in all thy gettings, get thee knowledge. And the other one's something like, the past is the present. I don't remember that. But I had two, so we got real deep into the Switzerland as well, and Hitler, and we went way back into World War II. And then a lot of my other films are like, most of it is about all the fake germ shit and all that, you know, germ theory and all that kind of stuff. But in the old days, I was doing Mud Floods, Reset, Tartaria, Giants. I was getting, if you go back on our YouTube channel, really old, 2018, 19, there's some weird shit, Atlantis Rising, Comets, Cataclysms, Coincidence about resets, and yeah, I used to be all over the map. It was just COVID made me do all that germ crap, you know.
Yeah,
which is good. It launched me into
meeting you. It caused a lot of people to focus to get into the germ component of things. I mean, we had, just at an Acapulco, Andrew Kaufman, Alex Zach, Mike Winter. You know, the team was there, the crew was there, and I've had the pleasure of having all of them on the show. That's one of the nice things about going to an Acapulco, is that I get to meet all you guys, and then I say, "Want to come on the show?" when I get home. And so it was too late. We should have done this sooner, but I'm glad we did it now. And they couldn't have picked a better host for Liberpolco.
Yeah, it's like I would have used a Liberpolco. Different name, but that's none of my business. You're like, what's that?
That's with the guys from Liberland too. The newest. I just want. want a passport from Lieberland. That's all I'm interested in. I want to get a good passport from those guys once they get that.
I was thinking the same, man. I was going to ask if I, like Ross and I, the other Space Buster, we want to be the Danish ambassadors for Lieberland. We want to run the embassy out of here, be the ambassadors and get passports and give them. Wouldn't that be cool?
You get diplomatic license plates so you can just blow through stop signs and stuff like that and just middle finger out.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, let's do it. We're all going to be ambassadors to Lieberland. I love it. That'd be the only area of politics I would ever get into is if they did that. I had fun with the guys out on Berwick's boat last year when we went out into the bay. I sat with the Lieberland guys and listened to them talk about everything. They're just the best. They're so fantastic. I love the idea. And I love you, Steve Falconer. You're just the absolute best. I'm so glad I met you.
Well, COVID was great. It brought me to you and all these people. So, like, to me, there was a silver lining. I just met people like you. Like, just so many wonderful people have come into my life from COVID, you know, from the popularity of my COVID film. So, in that way, for me, it was a blessing. But I know it was a fucking nightmare for everybody. So, I'm not trying to say what a great thing that was.
I know.
And they will. But like, I thought we were going to go like Mud, Flood, and Tartaria. If you want to do one of these again, I'd love to go Mud, Flood, Tartaria.
Yeah, we'll do that again. But in the meantime, everyone missed. You guys missed Steve. The after party at Max Egan's bar was great, where you were shredding out, singing your brains out. I've got videos of that. I can post it. You're a fantastic. Your day job in Copenhagen is?
Well, I am actually a touring singer. Yeah, I sing and play guitar. I was so drunk at Acapulco, I couldn't even barely sing. But that's what I do. And I'm also a music teacher two nights a week, too, at a school, two schools. So I'm a music teacher for kids like 15 to 18 at two schools. And then I go every Thursday through Sunday touring around at like these huge mega Irish pubs, you know, these big giant just party music. And I've got a band and solo, so that's quite fun. And the rest of the time, I'm always researching, reading, and I just got myself a Zoom account. I started interviewing people. I didn't want to do it. I'm usually the one interviewed, but I've been having like Beth Martins. Yeah, just people from that we know, you know, I've started bringing them on. And so I kind of almost have a podcast now, sort of.
Nice. Nice. We need more of them. We need more podcasts talking about interesting things. That's Steve Falconer, everybody. Follow his work. Check out Space Busters and support Steve as you can. And if you are interested in connecting with me, macroaggressions.io is the website. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with all of your friends and family. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64,000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64,000.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64,000. That's WATER to 64,000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64,000.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.